Morning. What a beautiful, beautiful day it is today. Spring, I keep saying this, and then we get tricked and we get a day of snow, but I really think it's here this time. So in this season, the season of Easter, right? We're in the season of Easter for a few more weeks. But in the period following Good Friday and Easter Sunday, we get these couple of Sundays where we look at Jesus' return after the resurrection, his conversations with his followers. He knows that he is here for just a limited time, and there's a sense of urgency to make sure that his people understand their commission, that he is who they believed him to be, and that they need to go out into the world and continue the work that he began, just as he told them before his death. It's like one last-ditch effort to make the point, right? And then the lectionary returns to some of the earlier lessons, the parables that Jesus shared with his followers in his ministry. And I believe the intent is to remind us of the work that we are called to do, our work. These are parables that are familiar to most of us. Today, we hear the parable of the Good Shepherd. This parable is told together with the words in the first letter of John, reminding us about Jesus' core message of love and his primary commandment to love one another. But the readings begin, oddly enough, with the book of Acts, right? In place of the Hebrew Bible, I kind of forget from year to year when we get to the Easter season, I'm like, why are we reading Acts as the Hebrew Bible? Now, the Acts was written by Luke and is a part of the New Testament. So I, again, scratch my head, and I think because Luke really lays out what this world looks like, what it means to do the work of Jesus. And so I believe the people who put together our lectionary wanted to remind us. So we have this funny little time where we dip into Acts in place of the Hebrew Bible. And it reminds us what we do and how we do it, what we are called to, and not here and there, but every day as we walk into this world, all of us together. So I want to begin there. As a little bit of background, before the passage that we read today, Peter and John have just met a man by the temple gate who's been unable to walk since birth, begging for alms. Peter tells the man that he doesn't have any silver or gold. So instead he says, "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk." And he takes him by the hand, and the man stands up, and his ankles and his feet sort of find the strength beneath him, and they walk together into the temple, jumping and praising God. And all the people saw him and were filled with wonder and amazement. Peter is asked, "What power or by whose name did you do this?" And while Peter credits Jesus with the healing power, Peter was the instrument to heal the lame man because Jesus empowered him through the Holy Spirit to do this work. Jesus empowered his followers to heal and to spread love in the world in untold, unimaginable, creative ways. And we're reminded also in the first letter of John that not only did Jesus confer this power upon us, he also commanded us to do the work, to love one another. Use this loving gift that has been bestowed upon you to spread love into the world. It says, "Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action." In fact, later in the Gospel of John, Jesus will say, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing." And listen to this. "And they will do even greater things than these." It's pretty awesome. An awesome responsibility, but an awesome gift. And these two readings in Acts and 1 John set the tone and the expectation invitation as we return to the story of the Good Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd, says Jesus, the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, a sacrificial love that puts the need of many above his own needs. I am the Good Shepherd. Since this story, this imagery of Jesus as the Good Shepherd is so familiar to us, it seems really normal, not surprising or jarring at all. But for a first century Israelite, that might have been a bit taken aback by this statement, I am the Good Shepherd. A shepherd's life was very humble. From the beginning of time, shepherds have been poor and downtrodden and disrespected, and things haven't changed all that much. I'm looking at our shepherd over here. I'll talk about you in a minute. From the shepherds of the hills of Scotland to the Basque shepherds who flocked into California more than 100 years ago to emancipated slaves who headed west with a few sheep probably tucked under their arms as their source of livelihood, the Maasai of Kenya and Tanzania wandering the country with the herds of near-starving cattle and sheep and goats. All have been discriminated against and viewed as lower class over the ages. So Jesus' metaphor is surprising, shocking even. I am the Good Shepherd, the King of Kings, the Son of God, a simple shepherd. But we, with our hindsight, aren't surprised by that image. It is in keeping with the Jesus that we know. After all, the angels came to the shepherds, the lowliest of men, to share the news of the birth of Christ, right? Not the religious leaders or wealthy influencers or educated men, but to the shepherds out in the field with their smelly old sheep. They had no power or influence. They had nothing to bring to the baby Jesus except their open arms. Just as God chose Mary, a humble and powerless young girl, to bear the baby Jesus, the shepherds, like Mary before them, are humbled and amazed that God chose them to hear the news. Imagine how unworthy they must have felt, but how honored. So honored that they wanted to shout the news from the rooftops. They joyfully spread the word. Those humble shepherds took the good news of Jesus and did just what God wanted them to do with it, told others, and their lives were never the same. I am the Good Shepherd. John tells us that the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He knows his flock, and they know him. He protects his flock. The Good Shepherd is also welcoming, inviting sheep from other flocks to join them. Jesus says, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. He offers an open and inclusive love, challenging traditional boundaries and extending his love and care to all, regardless of flock or social status or background or past mistakes that we might have made, a sort of radical love and radical inclusivity. What are the other characteristics of a good shepherd? You know, I don't know much about shepherding, I'll be honest. I grew up in a city, and I'm a little nervous to do this part because our dear Laura Davenport over here does actually raise sheep or lambs. So if I get anything wrong, just let me know. When I was a little girl, I used to spend a couple of weeks every summer at Farview Ranch Camp, and one summer I was on sheep duty, and there was this little lamb that had just been born named Fiddlesticks. And I would feed Fiddlesticks every morning and every evening with a bottle. And I fell in love with that lamb. It was the cutest little thing. It could barely, it's sort of rickety little legs, and it was so darling. And I spent literally probably years trying to convince my mother that we needed a lamb. Again, I grew up in the city. It didn't make any sense. She never went for it. So what I know about lambs, sheep, goats, shepherds, comes out of my early love for Fiddlesticks, but mostly out of books, right? I've read up, honestly, when I was little, I read up because I wanted to convince my mother we could take care of a lamb. Really, we could. But I've never shepherded sheep or goats, or really any herd animal. So here's what I think I've learned, or what I think I know. A good shepherd doesn't lead from the front. In a cohesive flock, the shepherd herds from behind, from the back, driving the sheep forward while keeping an eye on them along the way, making sure that none are lost. In a dispersed or sort of non-cohesive group, the shepherd weaves back and forth like a sheepdog, which the kids are learning about right now, so that the bringing them back together. You never see a shepherd way out ahead of the flock. Never. We see this example in how Jesus interacts with his followers. He teaches through parables and lessons, sitting amongst them, continually returning, checking in. Are you still with me? Have you gotten lost yet? Let me try it another way. And then he tells another story to make the point. You never want to get too far out ahead of the flock. You don't want to lose your people. You want to keep an eye on them. And this is a good shepherd and a good leader. Shepherds also understand that sheep are smarter than we think they are. People think that the flocking instinct of a sheep is a sign of dumbness, of simply being followers. But it is, in fact, a community-based survival mechanism where they have learned that their strength is much greater in numbers, and their comfort and survival is enhanced as a group rather than as an individual. The shepherd doesn't underestimate their intelligence and their innate survival instincts. Do you remember the parable of the lost sheep that was in both Matthew and Luke? In that story, one sheep goes missing, and the shepherd goes out to look for the one sheep and leaves the 99 behind. And he must have trusted that the sheep could care for themselves, or rather care for one another, while he was away. The lesson here is profound, one we need to hear and learn over and over again. We're not islands or wolverines, which apparently are fairly isolated animals. None of us are. We're herd animals. We are social creatures. We need one another for our very survival. And yet we've been so socialized to be tough, to cowboy up, that we see our interdependence as a weakness rather than our greatest strength. A good shepherd tends the whole flock, but also takes care of the individual. Shepherds learn quickly that the success depends on the health of the whole, but also caring for each sheep or goat, providing clean water, ample food, and shelter to an entire flock is essential to maintaining the health of the flock. But the success of a shepherd or shepherdess is in the compassion they have for each individual animal, again, seeking the one lost sheep. This means being able to identify a sick or injured sheep in a flock of hundreds, maybe thousands. We must always keep an eye on the health and well-being of the meta, right? The world, God's creation, the church, but never forget the needs of each individual being. A good shepherd, in summary, right, is humble, protective, welcoming, inclusive. A good shepherd leads from the rear, but bobs and weaves, remains flexible as needed to respond to the challenges that pop up along the way. A good shepherd does a great job of creating a cohesive and supportive group. A good shepherd doesn't underestimate the strength and loyalty of his flock. A good shepherd cares for the many and the one. A good shepherd is loving and compassionate. Yes, Jesus is the good shepherd. But we are also the good shepherd. We are all the good shepherd. There are many, many sheep in this world needing our care, my dear good shepherds. If you show up here and claim faith and claim this as your community, then we are your people and you are ours. We're not hired hands. And it's not that I am the shepherd and you're the sheep. No. We are all shepherds, and we are all sheep. We are all called to care for one another, to lay down our lives for one another, to bring lost sheep into our fold by sharing God's love with them, by welcoming them, by healing them, by loving them, and by going out and finding them when they're lost. We are empowered by the story of Jesus Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit. I want you to think about who in your life has really been a good shepherd to you. And maybe during the prayers of the people today, think about them and offer them up in thanksgiving for the guidance that they have given you in your life. And then think about who you have been a good shepherd for, right? And think about that person in your prayers today. As I urge you at the end of the service, as we go back out into what they call the mission field, and take care of God's sheep, that we help them to hear God's voice, feel God's loving embrace, know that they belong to the flock of humanity and of creation through the power that has been given to you and to me and to all of us through Christ and through the Holy Spirit. Amen.